Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Wonder where that is? That's right, 2 Corinthians. You got it. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today about dealing with temptation. I know the answer before I ask this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of you have ever dealt with temptation? Is anybody tempted to stay in bed this morning instead of come to church? No, you weren't, because you're here. But there's always things in our lives that we're going to be tempted by. And so a fellow told me one time, said, if you're just perfect before God, you'd never be tempted with anything. Let me say this. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And he's perfect. Everybody's going to face temptation, but we got God on our side. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, let's notice verse 13 I'm going to use for a text this morning. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I love that powerful verse. I love it enough, I'm going to say it again. No temptation has overtaken you, but except such as is common to men, that God is faithful. I love that. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Father, I pray your blessings upon the word of God today. Open our hearts. Talk to us, Lord, as only you can do through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus addressed his disciples just before his crucifixion. He would go to the cross and bear our burdens, bear the shame of sin. Even though he never committed sin, he would bear the punishment of sins of the whole world. He would die in your place, my place. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Man. So I know you've been tempted before. We go through temptation when we have kids and grandkids. We gather around the table to eat. And all the grandkids, let's just include everybody, and the adults, if there's chocolate pie sitting there, we don't want to eat, you know, fried potatoes. We want to eat chocolate. So we have to make the decision to resist and eat healthy food instead. Money is a great source of temptation. The get-rich-quick schemes are countless. They've been all down through the ages. And let me just hit on another note here. Countless dollars are spent on lottery tickets and on gambling. But common sense tells us that your loss keeps them in business. Don't waste your money on that stuff. Pay your tithes instead. The temptation to stay home on the phone instead of spending time in Scripture. News media and cell phones consume so much time in the average household. Now, I don't have a phone Scripture, but I can tell you, you can't neglect God, the things of God, for something this world has to offer. And it's not a sin to have a cell phone. It's a sin for a cell phone to have you. You've become something you worship. Okay? So dealing with temptations, I'll get in the Scripture here. Temptation is nothing new. First, we'll look at that. It's nothing new. We all know what it is. We've all been tempted to do what is wrong instead of what is right. And temptation, by definition, is simply disobedient to God's command, disobedience. We have the first temptation in Scripture when Satan tempted Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could have eaten the good fruit of every tree, including the tree of life, all they wanted. Man, but all they just had to partake of that one thing that was restricted, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we know that they did this, and that one tree and that one partaking of that one fruit would send into humanity the sin nature, the tendency to do evil or do wrong instead of right. And we see that every day. Every child that's born, the thing they don't like to hear first is no. And they act like I hear it sometimes, but you know they didn't. Okay. But our Savior, Jesus, He was tempted for 40 days. In those days He ate nothing. He went on a 40-day fast. And He ate nothing in those days. And Satan, the tempter, comes to Him and tempts Him and say, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And Jesus could have done that, but to yield to one suggestion of the devil would be considered sin against His Father. And He replied, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So temptation was defeated here with the Word of God. And so we know that bread is necessary. It's a staple of life. And even though Jesus was tempted by Satan to turn these stones into bread, He could have. Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of fish and 2 fish, or 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He fed 7,000 with 4 loaves of bread, 7 loaves of bread. Amen. If I got the numbers wrong, that you can correct me later. Don't do any good right now. And so, last of all, Jesus was tempted. He says, the devil comes to Him and says, I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world. They'll be yours if you will fall down and worship Me. Jesus responded in Scripture again, said, you shall worship the Lord God, and Him only shall you serve. Maybe He was saying to Jesus, you don't have to go to that cross. You don't have to suffer all those things. All you got to do is just bow down and worship Me. But Jesus resisted. He would not cave into any temptation that the enemy brought against Him. And temptation is common to man. Have you ever been tempted to give somebody a piece of your mind? But as a Christian, if you do that, you won't have peace of mind because God will convict you of it. And there are many common temptations. And the devil never, he didn't come up with anything new. Usually he uses the same ones. In the book of 1 John, that's right, 4, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, if you want to read little books. And 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Three things here. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. Praise God. So we need to resist these things, common temptations. As you look in our world today, most commercials have to do with appealing to the flesh or the carnal desires of mankind. You know, if you'll take this pill, it'll make you live forever. It'll make you look 20 years younger. It won't. Man, you are just what you are. Let me encourage you. Today, you're one day older than you were yesterday. Age happens. It's going to happen. Many commercials are advertised using sex, money, health, carnal desire for power. All that Eve was tempted with, or the devil tempted Eve with in the Garden of Eden, and the things that Satan tempted Jesus with in his time of 40 days of temptation. So how do I deal with temptation? Amen. You say, well, you know, I don't think that's so bad. It's not so wrong. After all, my cousin did this and it didn't hurt him any. Let me tell you something. God is personal with you. Amen. And God knows the level of your ability to resist temptation. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Amen. And so everybody's been tempted to do evil. But it says here, God is faithful. And God is faithful. And God is faithful to His promises to you. God's faithful to your salvation, to your walk with Him, to His eternal promises to you for eternal life. God is faithful. to remind us, hey, it's not all over. It's not all about this life. It's about giving your life to Jesus. It's about walking the walk. It's about living the faith. It's about overcoming. It's about being victorious. It's about taking authority over the works of the flesh, the world, and the devil, and standing in faith and saying, I believe that Jesus that I serve is more mighty and powerful than anything that will come against me. Okay? So let's look at this. God is faithful during times of temptation. He knows your ability to resist. He is faithful to give what it takes to deliver you from your temptation. And let me just say this. Your pastor and your youth pastor, amen. Youth pastor, wave at me. There you are. Praise God. Great people. But they instruct you in truth that'll battle against yielding to sinful desires. That's what they teach you. Amen. That it's just not worth it to cave in to temptation because the guilt and shame that follows is just no comparison. It's just not worth it. Amen. So God is faithful to protect, to correct, to provide means of escape. God who is faithful will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will make the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's your responsibility to take God's offer of escape from temptation. God is faithful to protect you. God is faithful to correct you. We don't like correction as kids. Amen. They do now. They tell them to sit in the corner for 5 minutes. I didn't like correction as a child. It meant God, my daddy or my mother is going to warm me up good so I would get it and not do it again. I wasn't praising God then. But God is faithful to correct. Aren't you glad? God corrects us through His Word and says, you don't do this because it will cause this. And the reason God lays restrictions is because He loves you and does not want you to suffer the consequences of the sin that you're tempted with. He doesn't want you to suffer the shame and the guilt that comes with sin. God wants you to be free. Amen. And God, that's the reason God places restrictions upon us. And He corrects us. And He provides means of escape for us. God is faithful to remind you of how He looks at sin. God hates sin but loves the sinner. I don't know. You may wonder how He can look at the two that way. Well, yet He does. He looked at me and you that way. He says, yeah, they're sinful and I hate their sin. I hate what they're doing. But I want to do something about that. I want to redeem them. I want to cure them. I want to save them. I want to forgive them. I want to give them eternal life. I want them to spend forever with me. So God corrects. And God is faithful to remind us of how He looks at sin. That's the reason the conviction of the Holy Spirit is there. When you do something wrong or say something wrong, the Holy Spirit is there and saying, hey, you shouldn't have done that, or you need to take care of that, or you need to go back and apologize to that person that you spouted off to and you didn't mean it. You acted like you didn't mean it. And God always provides a means of escape to keep you out of trouble or keep you from further trouble. If God can deliver three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace, He made a way of escape for them. They trusted in the Lord. They didn't know Jesus was going to, or the Son of God was going to be there. Amen. The Old Testament scriptures, they didn't know anything about the Son of God or Jesus being the Son of God. They promised a Messiah. And revelation of that or fulfillment of prophecy came that when Jesus came to the earth. Amen. And so God is faithful to deliver you from times of temptation. He's able to deliver you from the Goliath, the giant that tries to come into your life, the big thing that you just have trouble saying no to. Amen. God doesn't reject you because you have trouble saying no. But God wants you to repent and turn to Him and say, God, I need your help. And He's promised to help us. And He's promised to give you power. Amen. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. God, that's not just to witness to other nations, but that is power to resist sin, stand up and say no to the devil and yes to God. Amen. So God is present. He's faithful in times of temptation. And it says here in Scripture, God is faithful to not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. He won't go beyond what you're able to resist. You say, I just couldn't keep from it. I just had to do it. No, you decided to do it. Because we decide whether to live for God or not. We decide to fall into sin or to not fall into sin. You know, everything is based upon your decision. You make the decision to receive Christ as your Savior so you can be saved, born again, and forgiven, and on your way to heaven, instead of choose to be lost. Man. So we make come what we are by choices. So God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above something that you can't escape from. Praise God. And the key to that is dwelling with God and being in constant prayer with God, communion with the Father. God has made it possible where you and I can have a relationship with the Lord and pray to Him, and He hears. Amen. And so it's to dwell with Him. Psalms 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." My friend, I want to be under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be with Him. There are things I can't resist that you can't resist in this world, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist everything that God's not pleased with. God can help you live a victorious and overcoming life and not feel condemned all the time. And God can lift you up and give you victory and give you hope and give you power. Amen. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." So God's saying, make a choice. I've given the power here. I've got the power to deliver you from temptations, and I'm going to give you the power to do it. So make a choice. Serve the Lord. God does not want you to drown in a sea of guilt and shame. He wants you to trust Him and trust His Word. There's things going to come in your life where it's going to be hard to say no to. But I think our society's forgotten the word no. No? Do I want to just indulge in things that the society thinks is all right? No. Man, isn't that right? A two-letter word? It'll work. Just say no. Man. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trial, difficulty. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Man, when you're tempted to do something you know is wrong, ask yourself the question, will I be at peace with myself or with God if I do this? Amen. Because the devil will bring up numerous temptations. Amen. Especially among kids, young people, and adults, and seniors. Other than that, you're probably okay. I think it included everybody. And so, last of all, He will give us power to endure. We don't like to endure things. Football teams don't like to endure a defeat they had. But one of those two teams has got to. He gave the early church power to endure persecution. He didn't always save them from persecution. He gave them the power, the authority to endure persecution. And so what do I do when I'm tempted? This may sound silly, but it's not. If you're in a place where you're tempted, run. The Bible says to. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. Amen. So just run with it. If you're in a place where you can't handle it, then get away from there. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. I listened to a man, you know, a pastor, a preacher. He said, a man came to him one time and said, "Help me, Pastor, I'm tempted." And the pastor asked, "Are you tempted more at some places than you are others?" "Yes." "Are you tempted more at some times than others?" "Yes." "Are you tempted more around some people than you are others?" "Yes." He said, "How'd you know all that?" He said, "You just told me." So flee, make new friends, change association with people, places, and things that make you fall. Amen. You make Christian friends, you love God, you live for God. If the internet causes you to fall, then abandon the cell phone and the social media, and that would be an answer to a lot of people's problems today. So God wants us to be enduring, and He gives us the power to endure. Let's don't forget, Jesus endured the cross. He prayed, "Father, if there's any way other way, let this cup pass from me." Not so much the physical suffering, even though it was huge, but to take upon Him the shame of every sin ever mankind ever committed. not that he committed, but he bore the guilt for that. He was judged at the cross for my sins and yours. It should have been me on that cross. It should have been you. But he took our place. What a gracious, wondrous God. The sinless Son of God bore my sin and yours so we could be free. Okay? In Hebrews 12:2, it says we're to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, it didn't seem like there would be any joy in being crucified. It was one of the most cruel forms ever invented by carnal man of execution, crucifixion. Sometimes people would hang on a cross for several days before they finally lost their lives and infection set in. They could live no more. It was a horrible way. But Jesus undertook that for you and I. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you also be wearied in your mind. If you're thinking that you've just had something you can't resist, think about what Jesus did. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What joy? Joy of getting nailed to a cross? No, the joy that was set before him, the joy of seeing you and I delivered from our sin, the joy of seeing you and I, our sin being paid for, we being purchased from evil and given eternal life instead of eternal separation from God. The joy that was set before him. My friend, we have reason to rejoice. We can praise. We can shout. We can praise God. We can worship him. We can sing him. We can sing the praises of God who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We can have joy of the Lord this day because God has done something about our sin problem. He graciously did it. We didn't, none of us deserved it. Be out of his own goodness and grace. He saved us. Endured the cross, despising the shame, had to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our high priest, the one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And there's reward for enduring temptation. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day. There won't be any temptation. There won't be any devil around. There won't be any places to go that are sinful. There won't be any thing to tempt you. The carnal nature won't erupt. There will be no bad neighbors. There will be no bad things, no bad people. There will be no murders or deaths or funerals or hospitals to be seen in that new heaven and new earth. It will be perfect health the way God meant for it to be to start with. And Adam and Eve sinned. So there's a reward for enduring temptation. James 1:12 says, blessed, happy is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. You've been tempted here to do wrong things, but you've resisted and God's helped you. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to receive a crown, a reward of righteousness, which he's promised to those who love him. And so like training for sports or any physical activity, endurance is learned. And I'll share with you a story from my high school years, which is a year or two ago, a few decades ago, we'll put it right. I had a particular man that we had a football team that year that won state, the only time in the history of De Leon they ever won state in football. We were 1A. But every year we would play Eastland, and Eastland was 3A. And they would come to De Leon and they would just beat us terribly. We got 40-0 every year. But this year would be different because we have some behemoths. I mean, everybody weighed 180 to 220, just about all of them. Several of them could bench press 300 pounds. I wasn't one of them. I wasn't on the team. Wanted to be, but was sent to play football then. Okay. And so we had a bumper crop of people that were skilled in sports. And there's one guy that I never can forget, but I remember about him. I watched him pole vault one day as he's practicing for the pole vaulting to compete. And his leg muscles, his arm muscles, his back muscles were so definitive, there couldn't have been an ounce of fat on him anywhere. As a matter of fact, he was so skilled physically. He didn't say anything about it. He wasn't a boast. He didn't boast in any way, but he didn't have to. He just stood out. And they nicknamed him after a wrench that you use in your car because of his muscles and everything. They called him Ratchet. And so I remember that playing Eastland that year. And they were saying, we're not going to be beat 40 to nothing this year like we have been every year. And so on the first possession, Eastland made a touchdown, scored 6 points. But on De Leon, they didn't see anything but taillights from then on. They pitched the ball out to my friend, Ratchet. They could not stop him. They could not stop the quarterback. They couldn't stop anybody because we had 3 or 4 behemoths out blocking. And final score, De Leon 38, Eastland 6. But to make a team like that, they endured a lot of training and muscle work and lifting weights to become the team that they became. But I want to tell you something, friend. We've got to be with God. We've got to pray. We've got to fellowship. We've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God wants to develop your spiritual muscles where you'll have the right to stand. You'll have the authority and the power to stand up and say no to things that God has said to say no to, and won't be controlled by the things of this world, but you'll be controlled by the Spirit of God and do what is right and live what is right. Amen. So God has given you strength to endure. He gave Jesus strength to endure the cross. Much more endurance than we'll ever endure. But He endured that. Some of the early church, they endured much persecution. Many of them gave their lives for their faith rather than to reject Christ. And that still happens in our world today. So my friend, when you're tempted, remember God's faithfulness. Amen. Run from places where you're weak. Amen. Stay away from that cell phone and all the things that are there, that you can look into anything that the carnal mind desires and try to pick up on it and find out what's going on here and there. My friend, let God guard your heart. Parents, guard your children. Amen. Let me tell you something. What is a good means of discipline for children or adults? Well, I'm going to make them go without supper tonight. Well, that might be a means of a discipline. That's okay. Well, it's not okay because they need to eat. You know, God dealt with Israel 40 years in the wilderness, and every day He gave them something to eat. How about this? Son or daughter, if you're going to partake in those kind of things, no cell phone for a week. That was one of the worst things that they could see here, because everybody wants a cell phone. It's not wrong to have a cell phone. It's wrong what you do with it sometimes. But God corrects us. He didn't take away our cell phone, but He makes us know the difference between right and wrong, and when He's pleased and when He's displeased. And God grants mercy and love to us when we live in obedience to Him. But God corrects us when we're wrong because He loves us. Amen. You know, my mother and daddy used to say, this is, give me a spanking, say, this is hurting me worse than it hurts you. Yeah. And I said, well, if you'll quit, we'll both feel better. But God will help us, and God will correct us. Thank God for that. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what God requires. Amen. When you're tempted, just run to God. Say, God, I need your help. I don't have the power to overcome this. I don't have the power to be victorious. I can't help what I'm doing, and I need your power to overcome. And God will help you and strengthen you. God will fill you with His Holy Spirit so that you'll have power to say no to sin and yes to God, and you'll have peace of mind. Praise, it's worth it. Praise God. Just cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Praise the name of Jesus.